And you know, Benedict, you have your Bibles. This morning, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Second Peter, chapter 3, begin with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, if both which I stir up your mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, and the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That is reading the first 10 verses found in Second Peter, the third chapter. The coming of the Lord has been on the vine of God's children ever since our Lord ascended back to heaven. And the angels said the same Jesus that you've seen us in to heaven will come again as he went away. It is often mentioned by the Apostle Paul about the return of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Paul turns it to the blessed hope of the children of God. We have looked for, and as Chris thought, we long for the coming of the Lord. As we watch our world get worse and worse in our day. But there have always been those that are scoffers and doctors regarding his coming. Peter faced them in his whole day. And he wrote these words to encourage and challenge the people of God to remember that the Lord will return. They were saying then, as the people say now, well, the world just goes on and on. I mean, this thing has lasted for generation after generation. And the idea is that things will just stay as they are. But Peter wrote, them that were saying, where is the promise of his coming? Peter answers that with his letter. I'd like to preach a little while, if the voice will let me, about looking for the Lord's return. Looking for the Lord's return. First of all, I say something about the schedule of his return. First five, Peter says that talking about these scoffers, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Peter says that the world looks on all of these things, and they are willingly ignorant about it all. They are without knowledge. They are just what thinking with the right mind. Peter says, first aids how that we are not to be ignorant. Peter says, I want you to know. I want you to remember things about the Lord's return. You see, that is part of what that word is, what it's all about remembering, about remembering what God has said. Peter says in the first couple of verses, Peter says, I'm trying himself. Stir up your minds by way of remembrance. He said, I want to remind you of some things that you ought to know. He says, first of all, don't forget about God's root. Peter says that first root. Be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Peter says, don't forget what has been prophesied of old. Don't forget what we as the apostles preached unto you. Paul says, Peter says, don't forget those things. Just see, Peter realized, just like us today, sometimes we get so carried away, so caught up, so into life, working, raising a family, preparing for retirement, all of those things, that we don't realize Jesus could come at any moment. I'm not saying working and taking care of your family. I'm not saying preparing for the future is bad or wrong. But we ought to always do it in life that the Lord may come just at any time. That is what Chris was sharing also. That we ought to get up every morning looking, desiring, longing for our Lord to come. There's hardly a morning when I wake up and lay just a little while and I just start talking to the Lord. And usually, one of the first things I think of is, Lord, maybe it'll be the day that you come get us. And if you do, all is well. That ought to be in her mind. So Peter says, don't forget about God's truth. Some things that preach I've heard that all my life. Ever since I was knee-high, preachers have said, Jesus is coming soon, but he still hasn't come. I heard that my dad Preach that off my life. Tell he's in heaven. And now I preach it. Preacher hadn't come to him. Peter says a second thing. Don't fret about God's timing. Do you catch what he said down in verse 8? Peter said, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. As a thousand years as one day. That is, they quote from what Moses said in Psalm 90. Peter pulls that out of the Old Testament. And Peter says, don't forget that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years. Thousand years is one day. Preacher, I've heard that. But I don't know exactly what he's getting at. Well, I'll tell you. He is saying, God don't run on days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries. God don't watch the clock. God don't count minutes, hours, all of those days. God is eternal. God is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end and all in between. So God's time schedule isn't like ours. We say, Lord, why haven't you come? Peter says, realize God don't run on a schedule like that. God don't get out his iPhone and find the calendar and say, what day is that I need to retire? God's running on eternity. And in his time, he will return. God is never late. God is never early. God won't start over on January 1st. God sees it all. All of eternity stands before him. He sees it all. And in his time, preacher, what is he? What do you think? I think this. What Isaiah said. The Lord said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. What I believe is, God knows what he's doing. And at the right time, trumpet will sound. We'll all be changed. Called up to meet him in the air. The Lord is going to come right on schedule. When God says it's time. But notice the second thing. Peter talks about not only the schedule of his return, but the strategy of his still lying. Notice verse 9. Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. That word slack actually means to hesitate, to linger, or to delay. Some, Peter says, are scoffing and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Everything just keeps going on. Sunsets start rising. People live, people die. People get married, raise a family. They say life just goes on. Where's the promise of his coming? They say that apparently God is just hesitating if he's going to do anything at all. But Peter says there is a couple of reasons that he hasn't come yet. First of all, because of his patience. Peter says in verse 9, that is long suffering to us. Not really that any should perish. Why is the Lord not come yet? Because there are others that need to be saved. Tell you what I believe. I believe there'll come a day when the last person gets saved and the Lord is going to step out on the cloud, rapture his church. Preacher, who'll be the last one? I don't know. I'll tell you one of the things I thought about a year ago, I guess. Well, we had been praying for Stephen to be saved. Praying daily, saying, God, somehow touch his heart. I even had it to cross my mind that, Lord, maybe he's the one he hadn't come to yet. But then he got gloriously saved. And I thought, now, Lord, I'm ready. Just come on and get him. But the Lord said, not yet. There's still others that need to be saved. And we've seen some. We've seen some bow in an altar of prayer and get saved. Saved others give their hearts to the Lord. Thank God he's patient. What if it had come a week before Stephen got saved? What if it had come today before Luke got saved on Sunday? What if it had changed just before you and I got saved? But God's patient, long-suffering, not willing that any perish. Preacher, what's he waiting on? Why did he come? He's still dealing with some hearts that he wants to save. And he's going to save those who come to him and trust him. You see, it's because of his patience. And it's because of his program. God is desiring, he said, God willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Can I tell you what God's desire is? God would love to see every person on the face of the earth trust him as their Savior. I've had people tell me, well, you've done it all wrong. You see, God, Jesus only died for certain ones. That he only died that those who are the chosen elect would be in. But God didn't choose everybody. Well, they've got a problem with the verse here. Said God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you what that word all means? It means all. It means all that will come. God desires them to be saved. Ezekiel 33 and 11 says, the Lord said unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. I want to take God takes no pleasure when people reject his love and die and go to hell. I wonder if you thought like I did for just a moment. It didn't last. But this past week, when they announced that the president of the land, that terror against the Jews and against America, that hates us, I wonder if you were like me, but you're probably better than I am. My thought was, first of all, good riddance. But that didn't last long, because the Lord reminded me that he doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. I want to say, God would have loved to have saved him by his amazing grace. But he would not believe, would not accept, died without the Lord. I want to tell you, God's desire is to save all who will come unto him. So therefore he is withholding judgment for a while. He hasn't come because it isn't time. But then I want to say, and I'll probably end with this one, something about the suddenness of his coming. verse 10, Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I want to just explain that concept a moment. I don't know if I have. I've never had a house broken into. I know a lot of people that have. I know people that homes have been burglarized. But that thief that broke in, they never called and left them a message. Said, y'all be where I'm coming Tuesday night. They never sent a text message warning, saying I'm coming at such and such an hour, breaking into your house, taking all your stuff out of you. But a thief comes when you least expect it. They come at their own time to break in. Peter is saying, I want you to know, when the Lord does come, it is going to be like a thief in the night. Sudden, without warning. Preacher, I believe there'll be signs before his coming. Yet Jesus talked about some signs. He did say that in the days before his coming, that they would be marrying and giving in marriage and living and doing. And he said there'll be earthquakes and pestilence and famines and war and people fighting. But he said all of those are the beginning of sorrows. Said that's like a woman in labor. She first of all has some pain. Might not come back for a while, but in time those pains get closer and closer and closer. Till all of a sudden, things happen quickly, and the child is born. Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes and pestilence and famine and all of this pain. But as the end gets closer, it's going to get worse, worse and worse. I believe it's close. I'm with Chris. I think he's right at the door. Just a little longer and then I'm coming. And I want to tell you, as a thief in the night, what does a thief break in and steal? Think when he breaks in, does it back up your dirty laundry and take it with you? Think that and slip through your garbage can and pick out your trash. But he gets the very best that you have. One day there's going to be a trumpet sound. And the Lord's going to ride on a cloud, snatch out of this world the very best in this life, lure away all of his children, all of his children.
dead rise first. They'll get a body, a new body. They'll be caught up together. We'll be changed out of these old bodies into a glorified body. Be with Him forever and ever and ever. I've said it before. Chris touched on it. Hard to imagine just all the beauty that heaven's going to be like. Told you the other Sunday how that after I had my cornea transplant in my right eye, that initially I couldn't see two fingers in front of my face. But it started clearing up. Started seeing better. And now, the right eye is so much better and clearer than the left eye. I could close the left eye and colors are brighter. Threads are sharper. Grains are greater and deeper and blues better than I've ever seen in my life. They were telling me the other week, I was thanking the Lord for all of that. And He spoke to my heart and said, just wait till you get home and see what I've got waiting on you. I believe there'll be flowers there that we've never seen down here. Beverly and I was talking about that just a couple of weeks ago. I believe there'll be colors there that have never been here. I believe there'll be beautiful trees there. This world has never seen. Because there's coming a day, the last part of that verse said He is going to melt this earth with fervent heat. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Like Chris said, it has no curse. I see a beautiful rose, but it's got a curse. I see pretty trees, but they bear a curse. I see the beauty of God's creation here, but it's all got a curse. We're going to a place that'll be no more. All of that will be brand new. There'll be no more curse. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more difficulties of life. There'll never be anything to break our hearts or trouble our lives again. All will be wonderful. And God told the city, what a place. Every time I think about it and ponder about it, I rise up again in my heart and say, Lord, just come on. Just come on, give us. Get us out of this old wicked world. He's coming. Just as sure as we are here today, He's coming again. He could come today. If I go to bed tonight and through the night He doesn't come, I get up in the morning and say, Lord, maybe today. Maybe today it'll be good if it is.
But here's the thing, are you ready? Are you ready? Should it come today? Are you ready to meet Him? Should it come tonight? They came before we walked out the doors. Are you ready to meet Him? Chris said it and I've already thought it. There's undoubt people we all know that by their testimony they're not ready. Boy, how we need to be praying. Saying, God, open their eyes before it's too late. Don't know what need you may have in your heart. That is the message the Lord gave me. I hope that He'll challenge your heart to seek Him to return. I hope that He'll challenge your heart to pray for your loved ones or friends that need Him. I hope that we'll search our hearts today, see if there's something we need to make sure we're ready. He would come today. Brother David, give us a song. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment of time. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you need. But the Lord is able to touch, able to help you. He's able to work today. If you'll come to Him, let's stand while we sing.